Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us today from the gospel lesson, which you heard before. I'd just like to reread the conclusion of this story that Jesus tells, the father responding to the objections of the older brother, saying, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Friends in Christ, it's called the parable of the prodigal son. You've heard it once again this morning. It's definitely one of Jesus' most famous stories, but what you may not realize is that it was told in response to a complaint. You see, many of Jesus' opponents were quote-unquote good people, rule keepers, law-abiding citizens, people you would probably respect if you knew them. And they want to know, "Jesus, why are you hanging out with all these lost people?" Jesus replies by telling a story. The story you heard in today's gospel reading. But what you're going to see in this well-known tale is that it's really about two lost brothers and the father who loves them both. Two lost brothers, two ways to be lost. One is obvious, the other is shocking to quote-unquote good people. Now, when you listen to Jesus' story from beginning to end, what you discover is that both sons, the one who blew his father's money in fast living, and the older brother who stayed home and did his duty, both are alienated from their father's heart. The twist in the tale is that the bad kid is saved, and the good kid is lost. At least that's where we leave the older brother at the end of the story. He's mad because his father is being gracious to his younger brother. He comes right out and says, "Because I've done good, because I've worked hard, because I've never disobeyed you, you should do things my way. Dad, you owe me." And Jesus is telling this story in order to say that a person who brings that attitude into their relationship with their heavenly father is just as lost as the person who goes out and commits every sin in the book. How can that be? Well, listen, Jesus is telling this story to a group of people who are offended that he hangs out with lost people. And through the story, he's saying, if that offends you, you're just as lost as they are. It might be worse because you don't even realize that you're lost. Like this, a person who finds the grace of Jesus for people distasteful, a person who's offended by the idea that Jesus would want to spend time with those sinners, a person who's scandalized by the mercy of Jesus towards someone else, doesn't really believe that mercy is the foundation of their own standing before God. In other words, you either look to God to save you, or you look to something else. You either look to Jesus to justify you, or you look to something else. The older brother in the story was looking to something else. It was his own work. He was saying, "My hard work, my dedication, my loyalty justifies me to my father, therefore he owes me." The older son doesn't understand the grace being shown to his younger brother because he doesn't believe in grace for himself. Do you look to Jesus to justify you? Or are you looking to something else? There's a scene in the movie Chariots of Fire that speaks to this, if you remember that film. In Chariots of Fire, the Olympic sprinter Harold Abrams is asked why he puts such pressure on himself in his training. If you saw the movie, do you remember what he says? He says, "When that gun goes off, I have 10 seconds to justify my existence." The race for him is everything. It's his reason for being. Running well and winning justifies his existence. That's Harold Abrams. What about you? Some people will try to justify their existence by being a great, great husband or wife or parent. Some try to justify their existence by having a successful career, pouring everything into that. Some try to justify their existence by intense religious practice, trying to prove to God that they're faithful and true and doing all the right things. Some try to justify their existence by carrying out great philanthropic projects that are going to change the world. But what happens in life? The athlete trying to justify his existence by the race or the contest gets to the point where he's not as fast as he used to be. He's not winning anymore. And what then? The spouse trying to justify their existence by keeping their spouse happy, only to have their efforts go unnoticed or unappreciated. What happens then? The worker justifying his existence by career achievements receives word that his services will no longer be needed. What then? The religious person justifying their existence by saying all the prayers and doing all the steps and giving great big gifts and devoting themselves to good deeds still doesn't get their prayers answered the way they wanted. And what happens then? This always, always happens when we try to justify ourselves. It's never enough. It's never satisfying. We become older brothers, truly believing that we've worked hard, we've kept our noses clean, done things the right way, so doggone it, the Father owes me something. And Jesus says, that's what it looks like to be lost. There are two ways to be lost, according to Jesus. Two ways to be alienated from the Father's heart. Way number one is to be like the younger brother and be very, very bad. Go out, break all the rules, live it up. Way number two is to be like the older brother and be very good, so good that you justify yourself, so good that you say, look, I've done all the right things, Father. The deal is I do for you, so you do for me. The least you can do is give me a goat. So what's the solution? If we're lost, what's the key to being found? Well, the younger brother discovered it there among the pigs. It's simple. Admit your lostness. If you can admit that by yourself you are lost, then you're ready for the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus justifies your existence. You don't have to justify your existence to God because God has already justified your existence in Jesus Christ. The mission Jesus accomplished means that you are loved by God already. You don't have to earn it, nor could you. God thought that you were so valuable that he sent his son to the cross to purchase you. You don't have to make yourself more attractive to him. This is the undeserved kindness of God. And when you return to him, sincerely admitting your lostness, what happens? Out come the gifts, the fattened calf, the ring, the robe, the party in your honor. That's what it means to have new life. The father running to lost children who return to him. The biggest hurdle that older brother types have to overcome is they don't think of themselves as lost. They've followed the rules, so they don't see themselves as guilty, at least not in an irresponsible younger brother sort of way. So how do you know? How do you know if you fit the older brother profile? Well, let me suggest a few things. You might be an older brother if there is an undercurrent of resentment to your personality, that spirit of the older brother saying, I've never disobeyed you, yet I'm getting the short end of the stick. That's one. Number two, you might be an older brother if your life with God could be described as duty without beauty. Notice what the older brother says to the father as he's complaining outside of the party tent. He says, all these years I have served you, I've never disobeyed your command. Now the word that's rendered here as served really means the actions of a slave. The older brother is saying, I've been slaving away for you, father, and this is the thanks I get? Did you see that? There's no talk of love there. There's no talk of relationship between father and son. The older brother says, Dad, staying here and working for you has been a grind. If your relationship with God seems like a grind, like you're slaving away with nothing to show, chances are you tend towards older brother syndrome. If your life with God is all duty and no beauty, watch out. But here's the deal. Older brothers find their father useful. People who admit their lostness find their father not useful, but beautiful. If Jesus is your reason for being, you will find yourself thinking about him and talking to him and praising him just because. Grace does that to a person. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, there's more older brother in me than I'd like, there is hope. Look at the father in the story. He doesn't come out and yell at the older brother. He pleads with him. He tries to lead him to an understanding of grace. Everything I have is yours, he says. That's the father's choice. It's not based on the hard work of the older brother. It's based on the heart of the father. It's as if the father is saying, my son, I know you've tried hard, but don't you understand? We're all lost. And through this story, Jesus is saying to you and to me, look at me. Look at my cross. See the torment and suffering I experienced there? You are so lost that nothing less than this can save you. And I do it willingly. I do it so that you can have peace. I do it so that you can experience and share grace. This good news is the only force that can blast a person out of older brotherness. There are two ways to be lost. Looking to Jesus and seeing his grace is the way to be found. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your heart is unbelievably filled with love for your lost sons and daughters. Your heart cries out for us to return to you And we give thanks today that you have made a way for us to return. By sending your Son to the cross, you paid the price that would prevent us from approaching you. You've opened that way to us through your Son. So now when we return to you sincerely, you run to us and wrap us in your embrace. Father, you know that the one thing we need more than anything else is to live in that grace, moment by moment, day by day. By the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in that fatherly embrace as we move out into this day and this week in your name. Thank you for your precious gifts in Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God himself grant you that peace at all times and always. The Lord be with you all. Amen.